Colossians 3. And we're going to get to 1 Peter, and so if you can, get to 1 Peter 2 also, I mean. Can you guys see that? Is it me and Janet? No, I have. That's too much hair. Colossians is page 1835, and then we'll get to 1 Peter, which is 1890. Dave, we ready? You good? And if you want, there's an outline there in your bulletin. This last week, four different people told me, man, I've been needing this sermon series in one way or the other. So neat. And one of you was going to work, I don't know what day it was, and a couple, maybe the car right in front of you, I'm not sure, a big buck came out, and you hit it, and the antlers broke off and came to your car. You called up your husband. You told your husband, okay, and the person hit the deer and the antlers came, and the husband went, so did the antlers scratch the... So how are you? Yes! That's what I'm talking about! And we're going to be getting into the difference between men and women a little bit further. Okay, we'll get to that. But let's stand and read another passage, Colossians chapter 3, page 1835. And it's just like, as a whole, when you read through the Bible, it's general. It's, hey, what's like what Rick just read here from Galatians 5. Don't bite and devour. Love, joy, peace, patience. It's good for both men and women. But when it comes to the family, all of a sudden God gets really strangely specific. And let's look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 18. Wives, submit to your husbands, as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and read it with me, and do not be harsh with them. Whoa. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, read this with me. Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we as men tend to be harsh. We don't mean to be. We tend to embitter. We don't mean to. We tend to focus on the car and the result. And we forget about the feelings and the process. And Holy Spirit, we need you to come down. Help us. Help us. Help us. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Let's do God's word if we can. Yeah. Here we go. This is God's word. It's God's authority over me. It's God telling me who I am and what I'm to do. I will read it, obey it, and share it to be like Jesus and bring others to Jesus. And we all said, amen. Give each other a tap or something and take a seat. And then turn with me to 1 Peter 3. So page 1889, 1 Peter chapter 3. I'm sorry for going so slow through this verse, but I'll tell you what. Janet and I have hit a new level in our marriage. Remember Tim Allen and Home Improvement? Whenever the wife says we need to hit another level, it's like, why? Isn't the level we're on good? No. I'm telling you what, guys. This is a good level. It is awesome. So I might be preaching on this for a long time. No, I don't know. So anyway, quick review. It says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, husbands in the same way. And you got to realize that when Peter said that, he was talking to a culture where the men says, nobody tells me what to do. I'm the king of my castle. And we all know from our culture, the rules for the women and the children are this long, and the rules for guys is this. Do whatever you want. And Paul and Peter said, husbands in the same way. You guys are on equal footing before God. You are equal. You're both valuable in God's sight. And this is so brought out in the rest of the verses, but we'll get into that. Well, I should say it ahead of time. He says, treat them with what? From the verse. Treat them with what? Respect. What? They're supposed to treat me with respect. I'm supposed to treat them with respect as co-heirs. of the grace of life. You guys, you are different physically. Yeah, you both have arms, legs, eyes, and it's, so you're both the same, but you're different, and yet you're equal. Amen. Say it with me. Equal. Say it again. Equal. We're equal. And so the point is, like you used Joyce and Wayne, is don't do your marriage like this or try to do it like this even. Do it like this. Put your finger, intertwine. Men, enter into your wife's world. The two shall become one flesh is talking about making love, but it's also talking about how life is supposed to be. Enter into her world. That was like 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago. Last week, and I don't think I emphasized this well enough last week. It says, be considerate as you, how does it say it? Be considerate as you live with your wives. In the Greek, the more literal translation is, as you live together in the same house, do it according to knowledge. It's the word knowledge. It's the word gnosis. Gnosis. G-N-O-S-I-S. It's the word we get diagnosis from. It's the word we get prognosis from. When Greg went to see the doctor this week, did he just want the doctor to be considerate? Did he just want the doctor to have a good bedside manner? No, he wanted to know from the doctor, okay, where am I? What's the blood results? What's the test say? And for the doctor to say, 99% to 98% of the people are on this medication for the rest of your life. I don't get it, but you're good. Amen? Hallelujah. Okay, in the same way, men, God's just not asking you to be a nice guy at home. He's asking you to be a doctor. He's asking you to do some prognosis, some diagnostics. He's asking you to do this according to knowledge. So we got one big word, equal. Here's the next big word, knowledge. Say it with me. Knowledge. Amen. Now, men and women are different, and it's just more than the physical. This last week, and I really, one of you told me to get on this website. It's not website, YouTube, Mark, and it's in here in bold. Mark Grungor. I don't know if I'm saying it right. Grungor. If, guys, it's the marriage seminar you would love to go to. It's not a beat up on men because we're not nice guys. It is wonderful. Ladies, tell me what you think because it speaks a man's language. And there's four different seminars or sessions. One is Tale of Two Brains. Really good. Why does she do that? Or why does he do that? Third, the Yo Mama session. That's what he calls it, but it's How to Have Incredible Sex. Get on the site. It's wonderful. It's so good. It is so good. But it also talks about pornography and solo sex. He doesn't pull any punches, but he does it with humor. And then also how to stay married and not kill one another. It's really good stuff. I mean, it's not like a guy's seminar. So I got a lot of material from this. So if you watch that, it goes, wait a minute. I heard that on Sunday. Yeah, well, I heard it from him. So, okay. So we need to know. We need to be doctors, we need to be students, we need to be studiers, we need to live with our wives according to the knowledge of the scripture, the knowledge of the personalities, and the knowledge of the gender differences. The nice thing about preaching on this for about 6 weeks is it's pushed me to understand that we as men are always going to be men. I know that doesn't sound very profound, but we as men are always going to be men. We're never going to get it. We aren't. You're going to have to keep telling us it. It's okay. Women, you're always going to be women. It's who you are. It's what you're going to be. Because it's how God made us. Like Rick said in the beginning, I'm made in the image of God, but then also we got the sin. So we're not going to talk about sin. We're just going to talk about how God made us. This represents the man's brain. You will notice it's a box. That's empty. You will notice it has not really a smiley face, just a flat line face.
and a flatline face, and a flatline face, and a flatline face. Because us guys, honestly, we want to be kind of, I mean, if you go to work and you're a man and you're going zippity-doo-da, zippity-day, people are going, oh, yeah, forgot, I'm a man. Now, we think in terms of boxes. Everything needs to be in a box. Car goes in box one. House goes in box two. Family goes in box three. Wife goes in box four. And you don't touch the boxes. And you don't change the boxes. Everything stays in the box. Are you with me? Now there's a special box called the nothing box. University of Pennsylvania. Well, I don't know the university. I'll get to that in a second. Little boys' brains have a bigger left hemisphere in their brain. Little girls have a bigger right hemisphere in their brain. The left is logical, spatial. The right is emotional and verbal. Interesting. Now, when men and women think, they've, University of Pennsylvania now, they put little, you know, the electrodes on their head, and this is what happens. When a woman thinks, well, I'll use this one. This is a woman's brain.
Spaghetti.
All wired, juiced up, connected. And notice that the box is transparent. Now notice, too, that it's a smiley face on the front, because that's how she wants to be. Now, I was going to draw other faces, but I thought, but you could also do the frowny face, you know, that she's happy, but also she's sad. I was going to put little tears. Did you know that a woman has that same, but I didn't put that on there. I remember the first time that Jen and I, we were married, and she started, we were having this huge knockdown, drag-out fight. I don't know what it was about. And she started crying. I went, oh, honey, it's okay. I forgive you. Whoa, I found out her tears mean something different from my tears. They are very different. She says, I didn't ask you to forgive me, but you're crying. I'm crying because I'm angry. You're crying because you're angry? I don't understand. But ladies, isn't this what you want to be? You want to be the, okay. Anyway, when men and women think and talk, when the guy talks, only one side of his brain lights up. When the woman talks, everything's going off. They're having a group discussion up there, okay? You with me? Now, here's what's very, 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 very interesting. Once the guy stops talking, that side of his brain turns dark. It stops lighting up. If he's not talking, he's not thinking either. I have seen that with some of you guys. I talk with you, and I know I'm a real verbal guy, and I start watching your eyes, and the light goes out. And some of you have, I don't know, a lazy eye, and one of your eyes starts going off to the side. Go, I don't know how his wife feels. He's not listening. I mean, he's looking at me, but he's not there. Nothing box. Meanwhile, for you ladies, not only while you're talking, are both sides going off. When you stop talking, the one side stays lit. You're still thinking. Probably what you're probably not listening. You're probably thinking what you want to say. But you know what I'm saying? It's different now. Men have what they call, it's a very special box. It is called the nothing box. Wives, you've experienced this. Your husband's just sitting there. And you say, what are you thinking about? And his eyes go, you know what's he doing? He's looking in the other boxes to see if there's a box he can bring out. Because you don't mess up the boxes. And the wife says, nothing really? You're thinking, yes. University of Pennsylvania has, the brain literally goes, it doesn't go dead, it just goes nothing. Don't mess up our nothing box. It's where we live. We like our nothing box. Oh, we could decorate. We could put some, don't put anything in here. It is fine the way it is. And so when your husband goes out and puts around in the garage, guess what he's doing? He's doing nothing. When he's watching TV, guess what else is he doing? Nothing.
All right. It's how we're wired. Now, let's go a little further with this. So last week we looked at all the different ways that we're different. Turn the page. I'm going to hit four more things for this week before we get a little bit further in the verse. So how we're wired makes a big difference of how we handle stress. So when a woman is stressed, what does she want to do? She wants to talk. She wants to process. Her brain's going to explode. If it doesn't, it's all that's going on in here. What does the guy want to do? Nothing. He wants to get into his nothing box. Leave him alone. Oh, honey, don't you want to talk about this? No. And he says to her, if you just stop talking about it, if you just stop worrying about it, it'll be fine. And so what do we both need to do? Ladies, give your spouse, your husband, space. Guys, let her talk. It's how we're both wired. This is huge. A man loves competence. He loves feeling good about himself. And so if he is good at work, where's he going to spend his time?
At work.
And then he goes home and his wife nags. Where's he going to go?
Back to work.
I feel good about that. When she says, oh, honey, we need to talk. He thinks, not competent in this area. I'm going to go back to work. Or maybe he's not good at work. So what's he going to do? He's going to fish. And he feels good about fishing. So he's going to buy the best fishing equipment he can buy. He's going to get the boat. He's going to find the best friends to go to the best spots. I mean, because it's all about fishing. Because that's where he feels good. Maybe he's not a good fisherman. So you know what I'm really good at? I'm good at nothing. And I am good at it. Watch me all weekend. Chick, 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 chick. Because I'm comfortable there.
That's stress. Secondly, topics of conversation. For ladies, it's a stream of consciousness. For men, it's one topic at a time.
So, here's our dear lady, spaghetti brain. He comes home and she says, hey, you know what? I drive by the car dealership today when I went to the grocery store and I saw that truck you've always wanted, but it was maroon. And you know how I did that? Color me beautiful and I found out that I was a fall. You know, don't you think I need a little more maroon in my... And we have the picture directory this Saturday and I'm thinking about maybe wearing a maroon. And how if you wear gold? But don't forget there's the soccer game before...
What does this have to do with my truck? I mean... Where are we going with this?
I mean, we're different, and it's okay. And so, ladies, when you're talking to your man, say, okay, changing subjects, let me, okay. But guys, go with the flow. Number 16 there. Motives. He should do it out of love without me telling him versus just tell me, and who cares what my motive is? It's how we are. Mark Gungor tells a story. It's so neat because he uses the name the Lord Jesus Christ. So he preaches the gospel. He was used by the military to talk to military couples over in Iraq. And this lady came up crying. And what's the matter? And she said, my husband washes the dishes. And Mark's going, yeah. He said, what's the matter with that? Well, do you know why he washes the dishes? No, he does it because he doesn't like dirty dishes. He doesn't do it because he loves me. And Mark's like, most women would love to have a husband like that. Don't worry about his motives. Hey, guys aren't into motives. They're into action.
Now, before we move on, why are our brains wired this way? Why are our brains wired this way? Three answers. First of all, and this is what our society is saying right now, it's the environment. It's because we are in a chauvinistic, male-dominated society, and we need to change that, and we need to give our sons both Barbie dolls and hammers, and we need to give our daughters both little, you know, Barbie dolls and hammers, and maybe if we would just start... Little babies, infants, still in the crib, when they take a smiley face or a stuffed animal with a face and hold it over the crib of a little girl, you know what she does? She looks in the eyes of that face and smiles. They take the same face and put it over the little boy's crib. You know what he does? What's that about? They take pictures of triangles and squares and circles, and they put it over the little girl's crib, and she goes, yeah. They put it over the little guy's crib, and he goes, I like it. It's how we're wired. You can't change that. You can adapt to it, but it's how we're wired. They take little girls at 2-3 years old, and they speak almost twice as much and twice as many words as little guys. It's because it's how they're wired. And they even take little girls, and they talk to each other, and then they separate the little girls. And guess what happens? They keep talking. Little guys speak half as much. And you know what? 45% of their sounds aren't words. They're noises. You can't change that. You can work with it, but you can't change it. Oh, and I'm sorry. And our school systems and our society and in this generation coming up, they're going to think that when I have my little son, I'm going to say, Johnny, if you want to be called Joni, it's okay. And if you want to get some hormone shots, we'll let you be whoever you want to be. No, it's how God made us deep within. Amen. I need to teach you how to be Johnny. I need to teach you how to be Joni. So it's not environment, although that is a factor, but it's not the main factor. Well, it must be evolution. I know why men have a nothing box. Because we've been evolving now for at least the last 2 million years as human beings. And for the last 2 million years, we've been hunters. Me kill. Me need nothing box. Help me focus. Ah, and women, they are nurturers. They're all connected because they have been the caregivers. And now with technology, we don't need to do that anymore. Okay, now I don't believe in the evolution thing, but if you do, wait a minute. Are you going to change 2 million years of evolution through environment, through just trying to do things differently? And another question I have about evolution is, if we've had 2 million years to evolve, wouldn't we have better men and better women by now? I mean, come on. After 2 million years of being at this, what do women want in a man? They want him to be sensitive. We should be overflowing with sensitive guys, shouldn't we, after 2 million years? And guys, what do we want in a girl? We want them to look like a girl, but we want them to think and talk like a man. Don't you think by this time, after 2 million years, women wouldn't talk so much? There's something, maybe God made it this way. And that takes us then to the next part of the verse. It says, treat them with respect. Treat them with respect. So, husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in a considerate way. Live with them in the same house according to knowledge. And the next command is treat them with respect. The word treat is in the present tense. It means keep doing it. And I couldn't believe it. It's an accounting word. It's a legal word. And it's a logical word. And it's the only time it appears in the New Testament is right here. And it means apportion, assign, pay, literally, give according to law. Proverbs 31:31, last verse of the book of Proverbs. Give her the reward she has earned. Guys, what Peter's saying, he's talking to us as men, get out your calculator. and figure it out. If you had to pay somebody to watch your kids, how much would it cost? If you had to pay somebody to make the meals and go to the shopping, how much would it cost? If you had to pay somebody to do the things that your wife does, how much would it cost? A lot. When we had our kids younger, we had, I forget the amount, maybe $100,000, I'm not really remembering. We had so much on me, but then we had so much on Janet because we went, man, if Janet dies, I'm in trouble. I'm going to have to hire a babysitter. I'm going to have to hire somebody to, you know, to do all these things. Treat her. It's hardly ever translated that way anywhere else anyway. Means give her. Apportion her. Assign her. It's used of cutting up the inheritance. It's used of the governor paying his workers. Give her her reward. And then it says, give her respect. Wow, that had to hit the guys hard. Means honor, value, deference, esteem. It means also price that is paid, money paid. It's used of parents, honoring and paying widows and elders, honoring the king. It's valuing another's position and their actions. It's both unconditional and conditional. It's both and. It's neat. The rabbis, and banged up on the rabbis a lot of how they, you know, said women should be seen and not heard, basically. But they also said this, bless your wife and you'll become a rich man. If you're tall in stature and she is short, bend down and whisper in her ear. Isn't that neat? No other culture was saying that kind of stuff. Respect her. Value her. Guys, if you are a fisherman and you buy that boat, treat her equally. What does she want to buy? Guys, if you love football and you spend all weekend watching football, okay, next weekend is hers. What does she want to do? Are you with me? And it's of great value. I can't believe this. Last night, you know, Saturdays are an intense day for me. Because I work better under pressure and so forth and so on. So usually it's just an all-day marathon, and I function better like that. And at 9 o'clock, I was going to get something to eat, and Janet is speaking my love language, and she said, well, I'll get something we eat together. So that was neat. And I was like, oh, boy, I got to speak her love language. I said, do you want to play cribbage, which is for us about 40 minutes or so? If you know cribbage, she muggins me. I laid three cards down that were a sequence. I didn't even think about, because I'm thinking about my sermon. I'm not thinking about this. She gave me no mercy. She took her extra 3 points. I'm thinking, oh, Lord, this isn't good. But anyway, we had a good time. And then I got to bed around 11 o'clock or so. It wasn't too bad. And I slept all the way straight through last night. I think that's the first Saturday night I've slept straight through. I don't know for when. And I woke up so good this morning. I said, do you want me to feed the horses for you? We'll get into that later. All right. So treat them with respect. So we have the word equal knowledge. Let's use the word respect. Ready? Respect. Say it with me. Respect. One more time. Respect. Now, this is a lot of this stuff is from Mark Gungor, which really helped me out. When it comes to respect, when it comes to valuing, when it comes to honoring, we as men and women have been missing each other. And we need to understand how our brains, the spaghetti and waffle, work. Here we go. Number one, men tend to over-honor, over-respect themselves, and women tend to under-honor themselves. Have you seen this at the mall? There's a bunch of mirrors, and a man goes by. He can have a pot belly. He can be balding, but yeah, I still got the juice. Woman, mirrors in the wall. And if you're a white woman, sorry, you're 3 to 4 times more likely not to feel good about yourself and your body
than a black woman or an Hispanic woman. I mean, it's, you're all wired. It's like, I'm too fat. I'm too skinny. I'm too tall. I'm too short. I'm too oily. I mean, you're just all, You're at a party and somebody breaks out a video camera. What do the guys do? What do the women do? Turn it off! Turn it off! We think differently. Okay, that's number one. Number two, men tend to be takers and women tend to be givers. And women tend to think, if I just keep giving, eventually he'll get it. Yeah, he'll get it and he'll keep taking. He doesn't get it. Well, that's what she wants to do. It's great to be me. Stinks to be her. Men are takers, women are givers as a whole. And number three, I love this. Men give themselves bonus points for their actions, while women only give them 1 point, whether the action is big or small. So, here it goes. The alarm goes off tomorrow morning, and you don't feel like getting up as a man, but you do get up. 500 points. Ding, 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 ding. I got up. And then you go to work. Oh, man, you're crushing it. I mean, you don't want to be at work. You'd rather be watching TV or fishing or golfing or something. So, man, after an eight-hour day, man, it's at least 500 points an hour. You're up to 4,000 or 5,000 points by the time you get home. And on top of that, you didn't chase any women. You did come home. You didn't get drunk. Man, you're up to about 10,000 points. How many points has your wife given you? One. Maybe two for getting up and going to work, and maybe another one for coming home. You're up to three. You think you're up to 10,000. She thinks you're at three. Meanwhile, she's done the exact same thing, so she's given herself 3 points, but she's also taken the kids to the soccer game. She's also fixed the lunches, and she also cleaned the house, and she's also, and so she's up to 7, 8, 9, 10. And then she says, could you help me with, and you think, I'm at 10,000 points. Why do you need any more? And she's thinking, you're at three. All right, so here's some adjustments. For women, number one, get some self-confidence. Self-confidence. Know who you are in Christ. This is an old movie, and I don't remember it being the best of movies. It was Steve Martin and Queen Latifah. Remember that movie? Now, Queen Latifah is not, you know, models that you see, you know, the models that you see don't even look like the models that you see. They're airbrushed, right? Queen Latifah is not your picture of, you know, the ideal woman, and yet she's very sexy in that movie because she has what? Confidence. And ladies, go ahead, look in the mirror, go ahead, fix up your makeup. But also look in Scripture that you're a child of God, you're made in His image, you're precious in His sight, and that you're a man. Come on, take this as a compliment. Your man still wants you. Look in the mirror and say, I don't know why, but I still got it. He still wants me. Mm-hmm. Wants me more than I want him to want me, but it's good. It's good. He wants me. He wants me. I got it. Amen. Amen. Have some confidence. Number two, this is fun. Learn how to help your man to be a giver. Now, how do you do that? Letter A, ask him more than once in the right tone, no insulting or nagging. Mark, the speaker, was a pastor. And so when he read this, is that women don't ask men for what they want. And he thought, is that really true? So he started interviewing ladies at his church before the service and said, you know, ma'am, do you have a hard time getting your husband? Oh, let me tell you. Oh, Pastor, you wouldn't know. And then he would ask him, well, do you ask him about these things? No. He should figure it out. If he loves me, he'd know what to do. Ask him. Please, ask him. Now, don't ask him like, well, what's the matter with you? How come you never know? Just say, yeah, I would really appreciate it. You know, I was wondering if you could. You ask him, and ask him more than once. Remember, his brain... It's not turned on. You got to get his attention. And once you have his attention, you have to say it more than once, but say it nice. Number two, B, barter. It's how men think. They want to keep it fair. You know, honey, I know you would like to do this, and I would like to do that. And if we do this, can we also do that? Start making it. Remember, he's thinking he's ahead by 10,000 points. Oh, honey, I was wondering if you could clean up the garage out there. I'll go take a shower and you can come find me. It's okay. Do barter. Letter C, thank. Thank. Congratulate, celebrate if you want to use a C, but thank is the idea. Appreciate, give positive reinforcement. This is a frightening statistic. 80% of marriage counseling, including Christian marriage counseling, 80% ends in failure. 80%. Why? Because you always focus on the negative. But if you start focusing on the positive, look out. Thank the boy. When they train chimps, see, now chimps are a little more intelligent than dogs and horses, and they can't beat chimps. Chimps go crazy. They go ape. You can't beat a chimp when it does something wrong. You can't. So what do? You reward them for when they do something right. And when they don't do something right, you don't reward them. Thank your husband. Appreciate. Show positive reinforcement. Now, men. Adjustments for men. Stop overrating your points and start showing her small acts of kindness every day. Husbands, keep giving your wives honor. Small acts of kindness. Bill Hybels, I don't know if you know him, but he's pastor of the biggest, largest church in America. He was studying Ephesians chapter 5, where it says, husbands, love your wives. It's in the present tense. And he goes home. And he says, Lynn, I'm sorry. I've put church ahead of you. And from this point on, you're number one after Jesus. His wife, Lynn, said, yeah, Bill. And so what are you preaching on next week? He said it took him 2 years to win his wife's heart. 2 years. How many men would persevere for 2 years? That's pretty hard, isn't it? Well, then I was reading Ed Wheat. Ed Wheat, Christian doctor. Some great books, Love Life. And he said how he had put his career ahead of his wife. And the Lord convicted him of it. And then he worked at trying to make his wife number one after Jesus. And it said it took him 2 years. Okay. Then I was reading Gary Smalley this week. And he talked about how he put his ministry ahead of Norma, his wife, and how he really tried to put her first right after Jesus and ahead of the job. And it took him 2 years. Now, that's three different guys saying it took us 2 years. Now, this is what I was thinking. I got it. It's spaghetti brain. She has all those emotions. She can't let it go. It takes her a long time to work through forgiveness. And that might be part of the deal. But the other part of the deal is, ladies, what would you rather have? A dozen roses some next Friday? Or one rose for the next 12 weeks? What would you like? How many would you like it all at once? How many would like it once a week? Guys, isn't that frustrating? I mean, that is so ineffective. That is so inefficient. And so what probably was happening, and I have experienced this in my marriage, is that us guys are doing the heroic stuff, the big stuff. Doesn't that prove my love? And she's saying, yeah, but what did you do for me today? Case in point, built that barn.
for the horses. I thought, this will once and for all prove my love to Janet. I mean, I'm working 50 hours a week at church, and I'm working 30 hours a week building that barn. I mean, guys, how many points is that? Cha-ching. That's like 30,000 points each week, right? Just cha-ching. And she says, no, you're not doing that for me. You're doing that for yourself. I like to build, but not this much, not every day. And then this was an amazing time. I don't know what it was, but Janet, it was winter time, and she was just feeling really down that day, really just demotivated. And so it was 9, 10 o'clock at night, and I said, honey, I know you're down. What would you like to do together? I'll do anything to cheer you up. And I'm thinking she's going to say, well, let's watch a movie together, or let's play a game. That's her kind of go-to. And I was up for watching a movie or playing a game that night. And she says, oh, that's so sweet. Could you feed the horses? I'm 30,000 points ahead right now in just 1 week. And now you want me to go out and feed the horses? That is your thing. I mean, don't ask me that. You know, I would like us not to have horses, and now you want me to feed them? And I don't know exactly what I said, but I at least said, I'm not doing that. And I walked up the steps feeling very self-righteous. I can't believe I'd be wanting to do this and this and this. And the Holy Spirit said to me, Ken, what did she ask you to do? Well, she asked me to feed the horses, so then why aren't you doing it? So I go out and I feed the horses. You know how long it takes to feed horses? 10 minutes, 15 minutes. And it was wintertime, so you get a little extra points for that. In a woman's world, how many points is it? It's just one, guys. It doesn't matter how long it takes now. It's one. So anyway, I feed the horses thinking, okay. I come home. I walk through the door. And I still remember Janet throwing her arms around me and hugging me. And says, I know you love me. I'm like, I built a barn for a year. And then I go and feed horses one time. I don't get you, ladies. Oh, spaghetti. It's okay. James Dobson tells a story on himself that he went, I guess it was when they were launching Focus on the Family. And he went and spoke and was gone for 6 weeks. Traveling, speaking, church after church, 6 weeks. He was earning points. I mean, what he was doing for the family and what he was doing for the ministry and so forth. Meanwhile, Shirley, they had two kids, Danae and Ryan, who were little at that time. She's at home with two kids for 6 weeks. Guess what she's thinking? She's earning points too. And so he comes home and it's Saturday and USC, his alma mater, I guess where he taught, was playing Alabama. And he was going to relax. He deserved it. He had been earning points for 6 weeks. Meanwhile, Shirley was thinking, great, you're home. Here are the kids. Let me go out shopping or whatever. And he was like, what? After I've been gone for 6 weeks? And she's saying, what? After you've been gone for 6 weeks? And he said, it was the one time in their marriage where they didn't talk to each other for 3 days. All James Dobson needed to do was to give her an hour or two. He wouldn't have gotten 60,000 points. He would have gotten 1 point. But that 1 point would have been good. Guys, bring your wife a rose every day. Amen. Bring her a rose. I want you as couples to stand up for a second. And husbands, I want you to mean this sincerely, or at least take it by faith. I want you to repeat after me. I love you. And I'm sorry for not being the husband I should be. I'm sorry for keeping score with all those points. Lord helping me, I'm going to try to give you, now we're talking symbolically, I'm going to try to give you at least one rose a day. please forgive me. Okay, wives, are you ready for your part? Oh, guys, this is going to be good. It's equal. We're bartering now. I love you. I appreciate how hard you work and all that you do. Please forgive me. And all God's people said, amen. Now seal your vows with a kiss or hug or something. Thank you. Good. Yes. Amen. All right. Husbands, in the same way, live in the same house with your wives according to gnosis, according to knowledge, and be treating them, be giving them, be apportioning them, be getting out your calculator, and give them the respect they deserve. And all God's people said, amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you, thank you, thank you for how you love us. And the research that has been done that just reemphasizes how good your word is and how it really does fit. I think of the verse where love keeps no record of wrongs. So help us to forgive one another. But I thought too that love probably also keeps no record of rights, that I did this for you and I did that for you. Lord, you tell us over and over again, today's the day of salvation. Now's the accepted time. And help us apply that to our marriages, to love one another in the moment. Lord, instead of us detracting from one another, kind of like what Rick brought from Galatians 5, biting and devouring one another, help us instead to appreciate the differences and to work with them and to understand them. Lord, bless our men. And help us, too, to apply this beyond marriage as well, because it's in all relationships. And help us as men like Jesus to be sacrificers, to be givers, to think logically and rightly and keep with the plan when it's the right plan. And learn, like we read in Colossians, not to embitter, not to be harsh, but to be gentle. Lord, bless our wives and bless our women. Thank you for the spaghetti. Thank you for the intuition and the connections, the relationship. Lord, guard their hearts. They're more sensitive. And that's kind of like what Peter says. They're the weaker vessel, not like because it's bad. No, no. They need to be treated more gently. Father, we love you. Thank you for this series. If you don't know Jesus, know that he has sacrificed for you. He has earned a lot of points. Don't resist him. Bow your knee. Give your heart. Give your life to him. Say, Lord Jesus, I know that you died for me. You rose again. You're coming back. Help me to follow you to the day I die. Help me to go all out for you. And if you're asking Jesus to be your Lord and Savior for the first time, would you raise your hand and say, yeah, Pastor Ken, I want in. I want to be a part of the kingdom. Ah, thank you, Lord. Bless us now as we worship you. Help husbands and wives in particular. Help us to live the life at home like you've told us to. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen, amen. If you're a first-time guest, please drop that yellow card.